Hello, everyone, and welcome to the TakeCast. You will be hearing this starting on Monday morning, but probably even after, as the 8th annual Scott Fishbowl begins on MyFantasyLeague.com. I am here with the man, the myth, the legend himself, Scott Fish. We are here to talk about SFB8 and kind of the history of it. But before we even begin and all of that, I need to tell my Scott Fish story, which is that last year, and this is a very, very typical story of me, my lineup was not submitted yet. I believe starting on the Thursday of the first season, and out of all, I think, how many people were in it last year, Scott?
720.
So 720 people were in it, and I had not submitted a lineup yet, and I had Kareem Hunt on my team, and if you remember, that was the first game of the year last year. And Scott sent me a DM on Twitter saying, hey, you have Kareem Hunt, and you have not submitted a lineup yet. So I just ran so pure, but Scott also took time out of what I'm sure is a super hectic day for him with the league to reach out to me. So that is a great anecdote of both myself and the person Scott is. Scott, how are you doing, man?
Doing well. Yeah. I try to keep close attention to that, cause it's a league people really seem to care about. So, when something like that happens, and it's rare. I mean, we all do it in all our leagues at some point, right? So, I just like to take care of people, make sure that they know what's up.
I will say my issue is a lot of the time I get lost in MFL. I get backed up. What I end up having to do is just save the bookmarks for the submit lineup screen. That would be my best tip to anyone who plays on MFL, is just have a bookmark for actually submitting your lineup. Very useful.
Nice. Yep. And at the top of the Fishbowl page, I made an MFL tool about 6 or 7 years ago where you can put all your MFL leagues in, then you can submit all your lineups on one page. So if you're in 8 MFL leagues, one page for all your lineups.
I didn't even know that tool existed. So there we go. I use the, I'm sure, third party MFL Platinum app on iPhone. That's the one that I use. And it's useful for, I'm doing the Fantasy Cares Eliminator League thing he started. So that's how I'm doing it right now.
Very nice. Very nice.
So for the uninitiated, maybe this is their first Scott Fishbowl. Maybe they're seeing the hashtag everywhere and they're not quite sure. Give me the history. Give me the 5-minute history of the Scott Fishbowl, how it started, what it stands for, how it operates. Give me the elevator pitch for the Scott Fishbowl, please.
I've been asked for the elevator pitch, the 5-minute part, man. That's I can do it. I think
you take it as far as you want to go. I will help you out as much as I can.
So basically this thing started in 2010 as a reader league for the site that I ran at that time. And we got some decent named guys. I just went around the industry and got whoever I could find to play in it. And we got enough guys that, you know, were well known enough that it entices people to play. And it was just like this fun little 60 or 96 team thing for the first 2 years. I took a year off because, you know, I didn't think it was taking off. My wife was pregnant, bunch of stuff like that. And then the year after, I'm like, no, I need to make this work. I need to make this be a thing, a thing to connect the community together in this one big event, and came back going for 120 teams, and it worked. It not just worked, we had more like people that wanted to play that I couldn't even fit them in, which was unreal to me because it was really hard to fill those first 2 years.
Sure.
And so after about year 4, I believe, is where I decided I need to get a charity aspect, because I saw what happened when I'm gonna blank on his name now too, but Jim Day helped set up a bunch of leagues to buy a dog for a guy in the family industry's daughter.
Lad.
Yeah, Lad Davies.
Yeah, Lad Davies.
Yeah, his daughter needed a special dog, a medical dog, and the community rallied behind to do that. And I just loved every ounce of that. And I saw Jeff Miller doing a Toys for Tots drive as well. And like that, there are other GoFundMes out there. And I realized we are a huge, strong fantasy community. We can do a lot of good. I like to push that if you're in any fantasy league, you can just donate one of your entries, one of those 12 entries to charity, and we can do a ton of good. So I made charity a huge aspect of SFB, combined it with Fantasy Cares, which is what the charity is that I run now. And it is just grown by leaps and bounds. Just everyone you can imagine in the industry now plays in it. And more than that, they support the cause. They support, you know, buying these toys for kids at Christmas. And even if they don't support this cause, they I've seen copycat leagues. That's a terrible term to say, but because I'm proud of it, that there are other leagues like this out there that support other charities. And it's the way it should be. It's about community. It's about charity. And it just keeps growing.
Yeah, it is. It's something really cool. It's probably one of the only things that most of fantasy Twitter can agree about, because kind of what defines fantasy Twitter is massively disagreeing about slight differences.
Yes. Yeah.
People just want to argue about almost anything, but I don't really see anyone arguing about the Scott Fishbowl, which is pretty impressive to get all of those. Because, like, I mean, how many analysts do you have in the league this year? In the eighth year, how many analysts?
Well over 500. It's probably between 500 and 600. I mean, and we got them from NFL.com, from ESPN, from, you know, Pro Football Focus, CBS, Yahoo, all the big ones, down to podcasts and websites you've never heard of. But that's part of the fun of being in this, is you get to know those people and you get to know they exist. And you never know what kind of awesome information you're going to find from them, you know? So that's why I love that it connects us. But yeah, it's got over 500.
So a really cool thing about the format is it exists like one of the big online championships where, you know, you're in your own 12-team league, but you're also competing against, you know, 40 other 12-team leagues. Yep. But it's not just, you know, a tight end premium or, you know, a PPR league. Every year, the scoring format changes, you know, just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So this year, what are the changes that are implemented, and what have been, over the course, some of your favorite and some of the ones that did not work out the way you wanted them to?
Oh, man. I don't know if I have any that – maybe last year was the one that didn't work out the way I wanted to the most. But it did. It
last year was first downs.
Points for first down. Yep.
I say I did well last year for the first time ever. So I liked it. That was nice. That was good for me personally.
I think it's a balance you have to strike between what people enjoy and what you want to push out there, I guess. I wanted people to realize that points for first down, first off, existed, and secondly, could be something you could add to your league. It's something that matters in the game. It makes watching a second and one even more fun, I find, you know,
true,
because your guy can be on the field for that, and you're like, this could be a full point just for a 1 yard run. But people did not like that, because people just love PPR.
True. People do love PPR.
Yes, they really do. I'm kind of on the opposite side of that, but I'm play what you enjoy. This year I made it half PPR, half point per first down, and then a tight end premium. The tight ends basically get double. So they get a full point PPR and a full point per first down. And the numbers showed that has been an incredibly balanced scoring between the positions over the last 5 years. So I mean, I'm interested to see how it goes. My favorite was SFB 480, though.
I believe that was my first one.
Mm-hmm. That involved PPR and points per carry and a couple other things, but also very balanced. But it was so loved that people started making all their own leagues that scoring system. And MFL even considered making it a default scoring system because of the demand for it, because people kept tweeting them to do that. Didn't happen, but that was an amazing scoring system. But this one, not as special, but it's pretty balanced.
Well, so this year, the big difference in terms of draft strategy is that quarterbacks get negative points, like big time negative points for turnovers, correct?
Yep. Yeah, and I for years I wasn't a negative point guy, nothing for fumbles, nothing for turnovers. But I realized putting those negatives in really like widens the gaps between the tiers, you know, separates the good one guys from the bad guys. -4 for an interception, an extra -2 for a interception for a touchdown. So basically,
that's such an interesting wrinkle. I know. That's such a like you Jay Cutler, if he was still playing, he would just be undraftable in this format because the guy's like, the guy is the king of like the horrible throw that turns into the pick six.
Oh, right. Yeah. And he has a game where he throws one touchdown and he throws one pick six. That's 0 points. You get nothing. You know?
Correct.
It's complete wash. Matt Schaub for that five game stretch or whatever, six game stretch.
So has it always been a super flex format where you can start multiple quarterbacks?
I'm ashamed to admit I can't remember the first 2 years, but I can tell you from year three on it has been.
Is that your general lean that's kind of the direction that fantasy should be going in? Because I am of the opinion that not 2QB specifically, but super flex leagues really add another layer of strategy. And I think that the game really needs it right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything that adds strategy, anything that adds draft chaos. I mean, right now, especially right now, analysts love to just wait on quarterbacks forever in one quarterback leagues. And I think that's finally starting to filter down to more casual leagues and even like home leagues and whatnot. I think it's starting to filter that way. And Superflex pumps those quarterbacks right back up.
Yeah, it does. And I agree with you that's like a big blind spot in seasonal fantasy football analysis now. It's just that like you're not really getting quarterback analysis. Pretty much everyone's just like, take who you like, right. You know. Right. And this league, I guess actually here's another thing. Where should people be going right now to do their Scott Fishbowl research? I know a couple people have released like data packs and stuff like that. So why don't you give those people a chance to get their content out right now?
Man, I'm wishing that I could remember their Twitter handles.
But if you're on the spot right now, that's okay.
Well, I know that Addison Hayes has released a package for that. I know there's an analytics guy, Jim Day, tweeted about him the other day also doing it, but I can't remember his Twitter handle. I might have to look for that. But also there's articles. Rotoviz has done a couple articles recently on how to attack the Scott Fishbowl. They've done two or three of them now. One recently had several different methods, which was pretty dang interesting. There's lots of places. There's mock draft ADP out there even. Like, there are 25 to 30 mock drafts people have done just trying to figure out this format, which is just insane to me. It's awesome though. Insane in a good way.
Absolutely. And that's like one of the things I love every year is when guys that I really respect, guys that I like, they release like their Scott Fishbowl like strategy article. Like I read all that stuff. I'm in a lot of redraft leagues, like probably I would say like five or six that I still do and take really seriously. But the Scott Fishbowl is the one where I'm even with DFS going so heavy and strong, I always at least make sure that my lineup is good to go. Cause like some leagues I'll like just the kind of the way my football season goes is like, I just, if I'm dead, I'm dead. But, right. And the Scott Fishbowl keeps it. It's very entertaining.
Yeah. And there's also a little bit of, you don't want to be the guy in 900th place among 900 people. I think that would put a little fear into
there. Was there 2 years ago, I was close. My team team was bad 2 years.
I've been there. Yep.
Yeah. It was brutal. What's the highest you have ever finished?
In the 7 years I've made the conference finals twice. And actually, no, that's not true. I made the conference finals once and I made the finals once. I led the very first year of SFB. I led wire to wire. And then Mike Clay beat me in the final, which was very frustrating.
Yeah, I'm sure winning the final for you, that would be the apex.
Yeah, yep. I wonder though how people would look at it though, if I had won year one, like how it would look, if I could have filled it even year two, I don't know, probably wouldn't look the best or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I have finished 1-11 in this league as well. So I've been on both sides of that coin.
Yeah. Okay. So before we head out, I want you to just talk a little bit about Fantasy Cares, kind of about the initiative overall, what anyone listening to this can do. So just sort of all of the Fantasy Cares and the Scott Fishbowl stuff.
Right. So fantasycares.net is where I run everything. We do have a donation button, but over the course of the summer, I run a bunch of different fun, interesting leagues for donators. It's not like you don't pay to play kind of thing. There's no prize pools, no payouts, no entry fees. Just if you donate, like I as a gift, I'm like, hey, I'm going to put on this really cool, interesting league. So sign up for it if you want to play in this, you know? So, I run a bunch of interesting leagues right now. I'm running some SFB satellites. They may be done by the time this airs. They may not be. I don't know yet, but, those can, and anything I run on there allows you a chance to get into SFB 9 next year. I put that as a prize for any league I run. FantasyCares.net. We're gonna be over 25,000 very soon.
That's pretty great, man.
That's unreal.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
So okay, so then anyone else who's listening to this, best way to angle for a way to get into SFB9 is what? Say fan or analyst. If you really feel like you're missing out, you want to be included, how do you get in?
Yeah, basically signing up for stuff on fantasycares.net is the easiest way, because most of those leagues are 12 teams or 14 teams or something. That's a 1 in 12 shot, which is far better than the other way. Cause I think by Monday we'll have had 7,000 signups for 900 spots. And
yeah,
it's not a great chance. you're competing against a lot of people to try to get in that way.
You could have won one through this podcast, through a lot of podcasts, really.
Exactly. Yeah. I like to have contests out there, and you ran one, and that guy is extremely happy.
That guy was pumped. That guy, Chris, yeah. If you're out there, man, you were super pumped. And I love that. I love when people get amped about fantasy football. It's fun.
Exactly. I know. It's fun to see that excitement. That's definitely true. And just like you said, the other way is, I try to let people run lots of contests within the fantasy industry. I think that helps the fantasy industry, and it's, you know, a better shot at getting in the fishbowl than just your regular signup.
Word. All right. Any parting words of wisdom, any specific advice for SFB8 before we head out?
Oh man, I never have advice for this because I spend so much time working on it. I never prep the actual draft strategy. I know the scoring inside and out, which kind of helps, but I have winged it on the last several SFB drafts. So I don't have any strategies, but thanks for having me on, man. This is awesome.
Yeah, everyone, please make sure to check out Fantasy Cares. Definitely, as Scott suggested, you know, one donation, you know, for one of your entry fees, treat it like a $20 entry fee, basically. And there are, actually, last thing, why don't you talk about some of the prizes? Because we haven't talked about the prizes at all.
All right, sure. Let me go to the prize page. Yeah, Football Guys has donated a lifetime subscription, which is amazing. I think DLF is also given a lifetime subscription. Pro Football Focus has 3 Edge subscriptions and 1 Elite subscription, which is awesome. Football Guys also some 3-year subscriptions. 4 for 4, some subscriptions and hoodies and t-shirts. A championship belt from Fantasy Jocks. The winner of this thing gets to play in the FFPC's Pros versus Joes, which is pretty badass.
Yeah, that's really cool. That's a legitimate prize.
It really is. Rotogrinder sub. My companies, I run MFL 10s. If people don't know that this out there, I'm the guy in charge of MFL
10. On Fanball.
Yep. On Fanball. And we're going to have some credits to give away for MFL 10s as well.
Just while I have you,
yeah.
Is there any way to develop, an app? Cause like I've just had trouble drafting on my phone. Basically.
It is so on the list. We felt it. We could wait on that one just because it's such a mobile friendly thing, but we realized that's not a replacement for an app. It's just super mobile friendly.
Yeah.
It's definitely down the pipeline.
Wasn't meaning to give you a hard time. I just, no. While I had you, I had to ask.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We got a lot of awesome stuff coming. I think we even have MFL 10 auctions coming, live auctions. So that's
there we go.
Yeah, live drafts, which we didn't have last year. So it's going to be good. A lot of good stuff to come there.
All right, everyone. Happy SFB 8 day. Hope that this podcast finds you, you know, while you are definitely making your pre-draft picks to not hold up your league. Hope you have a great experience with it, everyone. Give Scott a follow on Twitter. play your MFL 10s. Check out fantasycares.net. And if you are not in the Scott Fishbowl this year and would like to be next year, as the man said, that's the best way to do it. You still have plenty of time to play in a satellite league and a way to get into the league next year. So good luck with that, and we'll talk to you soon.